Hey. Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Happy Monday.
How are you? Nice to see you. Okay. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to be your parachute. Okay, great. Okay, so we can't talk about Yaakov and Yosef and not talk about favorites. We also can't talk about Yaakov and Yosef without talking about the, you know, hard things and, you know, living life that's calm and easy and not that way. So let's take a look. Let's just take a look at source number one. I forgot to bring the English in the bottom there, but well, bear with me. Let's start from the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. So Parshas Vayeshev begins, Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Migori Aviv, Be'eretz Canaan. Okay? So Yaakov lived in the land of his, where his father lived, right? Because Yitzchak lived in Eretz Canaan, so Yaakov lived there too. Ela told us Yaakov, Yosef, ben Shvasre Shanah, Yareh Sachab Atzon. Right, so these are the children, these are the descendants of Yaakov. And what should the next line, what should the next words be? What should the next name be? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar. Right, that's an Ela told us Yaakov. Right, it should be all, there should be a list.
Right.
There should be a list of all those people. Hi, Jenny. I was just pointing out. That's fine. I'm kidding. I'm just saying hello. So right, she gave a whole list. Fine. So this is another problem that Rishonim bring out. What the Eila told us Yaakov should be. What are the children of Yaakov? Then tell me the children of Yaakov, and you don't do that. You just tell me Yosef. Okay, Yosef is seventeen, and he hangs out with his brothers, and he hangs out really more with Bnei Bilhah, Bnei Zilpah. And Vayave Yosef es dibasam ra'a laviyam. And Yosef becomes the talebearer. He becomes the tattletale, bringing the story everyone has. Many of us probably have in our family the child that likes to report about the other children. And so Yosef was that one in his family. And what happens? V'Yisrael ahaves Yosef mikol banav ki ben zikunim hu lo va'asa lo kesonos pasim. The trouble starts that Yisrael loves Yosef Mikol banav presumably means
more than
the rest of them, and because he is his ben zikunim, which means
son of old age.
Okay, and what did he make for him? A special striped coat. It doesn't say that it has multiple colors. Just by the way, just says that.
It means stripes, really.
But okay. Many had getting multiple colors, but fine. And what happens, not surprisingly, Vayru Echav, Ki Oso Ahav, Evihimes Mikol Echav, Vayisnu Oso, V'Leachud Ebro Shalom. And the brothers see, kids are smart, and they know when parents are not even-handed. This one got this many hours of, you know, this one got that many hours, this one got this much money. Right? They can tell when you're not treating them all the same. And they begin to fight to the point where they can't even speak to each other.
How much younger was Yosef than his next older brother?
Great question. You may know. We're going to see. Not much younger. And by the way, is there anyone younger than him?
Binyamin.
Who's quite a bit younger, actually. So this question of what does it mean? So there's our first question. Ki ben zikunim hu lo. He's his child of old age. By the way, all of Yaakov's kids were born in his relatively old age. And it took him a long time until he was able to get married and have children, etc. It took him a while. So he was already in, he's probably in his 60s when he's first having children, like his father. He was also in his 60s. So why is Yosef ben Zikunim? We're going to have to see, what does that mean? Does it mean, it's not the child he had when he was the oldest, because he was oldest when he had Binyamin. So we'll have to see, what is Ben Zikunim?
Today when people say Ben Zikunim, it means like it was an accident.
It's a euphemism. When people say Ben Zikunim, they mean.
So was he like unexpected? Like, does it mean the same thing here?
I don't know. Definitely not. Definitely not, because he's the first one for Racha.
Right. But I'm saying maybe he gave up.
People pull that phrase. Someone called someone my Ben Zikunim. They're pulling it from this pasuk. That's where it comes from, right?
I'm saying, is the implication that he didn't think Racha would ever go to give him children? So, okay.
So if Ben Zikunim means, so maybe it wasn't that he was so much older, but more of a surprise.
In his old age, he had
in a surprise. Sense, like, or surprised that he didn't expect her to be able to have children.
Right.
Okay, it's actually very interesting, right? I mean, it's it's become known. Ben Zikunim has like you said, sort of like the surprise. But it's interesting because maybe that like colloquial use of Ben Zikunim might actually inform us as to what it really means, right? That maybe that was part of the, right? It's not just Ben Zikunim. What could the pasuk have said? Why did he love Yosef more? Because
it was Rachel.
Right. Doesn't say that.
So you could have said that.
You could have said that, and that really would have, you know, really told us the truth, right? Or I shouldn't say the truth, but that would be a very understandable explanation, right? Is that he was Ben Zikut, meaning he was the child of Rachel, right? The child he thought he would never have. Good. So we're gonna have to see what that means. Before we get to dealing with the Ben Zikunim of Yosef, and by the way. What is the issue that is like sort of the obvious issue that bothers all of us when we read the story?
How could Yaakov have a favorite?
Yeah, I have a favorite child. What are you doing? Like, he's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. Yeah, Yaakov's a smart person. I have to imagine. He's a Navi. He is, right? He's called the Bechir Shebavos, right? He's like the most like, you know, chosen of the Avos. He seemed like the best.
He said his and he's
Conan.
Right.
And it's disappointing.
And it's like Yaakov Avinu. I think we mentioned this last week. You want to grab a sheet? The sheet over there. He's like right. He's like the you know, his face is on the Kisei HaKavod. Not Avram, not Yitzchak. The Medrash says so. Like Yaakov Avinu is this is a person who understands the world a little bit. Right. It took him some time to figure it out, but he understands the world very well. Right, and what is it? It's such an obvious favorite. Forget like you treat this one a little bit better. You give a bigger hug. You give a little longer kiss. You give him a special coat. It wasn't subtle here. You know. Yes. Okay. So we're going to see, right? So his mom loved him, and his father loved him. Good.
So
rather than saying like he chose a favorite.
It was like the natural model that he was exposed to, so he followed that pattern.
He didn't even, maybe they didn't know different. Like, maybe they didn't have, like, other families over on Shabbos. Like, like that was just the model he grew up with, which, by the way, is going to be part of, maybe that's part of what's going on here. But what I want us to do today, to be honest, as we're going to move along, is to, I always tell guys I speech class. I go to speech class on Fridays in NYU. So I always tell them, they like, to be honest. I'm like, never say to be honest. Like, and so you haven't been honest. You know, but sorry, I just said it. But what I'd like us to do is I want us to see some of the explanations for Ben Zikunim, some of the explanations for the Ketonet Pasim, which some of them you're gonna like and some of you're really gonna like. I know you're not gonna like. And then I told Rona already that when I put the sheet together, I know already the questions that are like that are on their way. No, but on purpose. And I have a takeaway here that I think hopefully can help us get. I think we gotta be a little down and have sauce on Yaakov also and understand a little bit where he's coming from. But fine. The first 2, 3, and 4, to be honest, are a little bit more on the Vayeshev Yaakov, which is not really our main point today. But it's just interesting to notice. There's number 2. I think it speaks to like our lives a lot. But oh, Nidrash Bo Vayeshev. Why does it say Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Migrei Aviv? I mean, it's relatively normal language to use Vayeshev. But why? Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Bashava. Right? Yaakov wanted to live calm already. Right? Kafatz Alav Roguzal Shel Yosef. And the moment he felt like, can I just live a little like calmer, a little easier life? So then Hashem, you know, sent him the issues with Yosef. Tzadikim Mevakshim Leshev Bashava. Tzadikim want to sit quietly and learn and grow and avodas Hashem and you know raise their family. Omra Kadosh Baruch Hu Lo Dayan LaTzadikim Hashem Mitukan Lahem Olam Haba. It's not enough that they have Olam Haba to be great for them. Hashem Avakshim Leishiv B'Shav Olam Hazeh. You want to make it good here too? Sorry, says Hashem. I'm gonna make it a little bit harder for you here. And if you look at source number 4,
what's the word rogues
though? The literally rogues, it means like anger almost, but it really means like the frustration, the difficulty, the challenge. Of Yosef. But look in source number 4, it's Rav Sternbach in the Sefer Tam Vadas, writes, V'nira sheYaakov Avinu lo pikesh chaye ravchas va'osher v'alom. So it wasn't like he wanted to like, you know, drive his fancy car and live in his mansion and like just enjoy life by the pool. It wasn't like his like, you know, like I'm going to chill. That wasn't what he wanted, right? Ela rak la'achar sha'avru alav harbe nisyonos. No, but Yitzhak had a hard life already, right? There's a lot of things for him already. In Esav, Lavan, Vedina, right? A lot of hard things happened to him. He didn't want he wasn't looking to live like a lavish life. He just wanted Hashem just leave me alone for 5 minutes. Right? Lavor Hashem Yisparach, the Takinat Zvolam Abba. He wanted just to work on his spiritual life a little bit, right? Vazeh Heishiv LaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem responded to him, Heich Yachal Lavagesh Chalachai Shava Belin Yisrael. What do you mean? You have a life without Nisayon? Sorry, that's not how it goes. V'arei Tzadikim Zochin L'Chalam Abba, Dafka Eidei Nisayon. No, it's only because you struggle at times. That's when you grow and experience, and I'm not saying we should ask for them, Chalila. That's what Hashem, that's what he said, that's what the Torah says, that's what Chazal say about Yaakov. Hanu Eidei Kitchur Zahasatan. V'zeh Shemafarish V'medrash, Shashatim, fine, whatever. Sha'amnam zeh ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nasos Adam, that's what Hashem puts us in the world, to sometimes, to have to, at times, to deal with tests. Fine. So that's why, that's this idea, that Yaakov wanted to just relax. It wasn't that Yaakov wanted to relax. He had had a lot of hard things. And he said, enough already. And Hashem said, sorry, not enough already. You're going to have to go through these experiences and they're going to change you and shape you and change and shape your children and they're going to grow because of them and we're going to lend it and people for 4,000 years later will learn from these stories and experiences and it'll be part of our lives. Fine. That's just I thought it was nice, a nice idea, but fine. Or a hard idea, but fine. But take a look now. What is this Ben Zakunim business, right? What is this idea that he's a Ben Zakunim? Source number 5 says Rashi Ben Zakunim Shinola Lola Izignoso. That's what it means. It means he was born when he was old. Okay? The Rashbam is not so happy. Ben Zakunim Ki Acharon Hayal Yud Alf Banim. He was the 11th. He was the last one. Aval Binyamin Nolo Acharechein Adzman Meruba. So Yosef was last of the main group. So he was the youngest. He was the baby of the main group. Binyamin's born later. It's almost like that's already different, right? And you actually can see that in the story, right? Binyamin's not even in the picture,
right?
Until Yosef is gone, and then Binyamin, many years later, again he gets treated like Yosef, but he's not really around. Maybe he's too little. He's too young. He doesn't get that special treatment yet because maybe he would have. But Yosef is the last of the main group. Fine. V'harbe kodem shenola Binyamin hayalo ben zikunim v'hischilo havo. So meaning, but what's Rashbam bothered by? Why isn't Binyamin the Ben Zakunim?
Right.
So he's saying because he was the last one. He was the baby in the family. Everyone, right? If you have a few kids in your family, so then the youngest one ends up in many families getting treated like the baby, and kids will say, you favor him, you favor her, she's the princess, he's the prince, he's the. Right? And it's usually true. Mainly just because we're too tired.
Right.
That's the main reason, right? I think I'm not even joking. That's the main reason. We're too tired. To you have rules also, everyone has rules, you just do what you want, right? So we
that's a Ben Zakunim answer for the favoritism.
Right.
He got old, he's tired, he's done with this strict parenting thing, and now it's just I'm gonna love this kid, I'm gonna give him, if I feel giving him a code, I'm giving him a code.
Whatever, right. Do whatever he wants, fine. Yeah. Everyone else got hand-me-downs, he gets a new one. Whatever, you don't have to fill out the chart, I'll fill out the chart for you. It's fine. You can get the candy, whatever. You're it's easy. You know? See, that's not the pshat, Yaakov Avinu.
Right.
Probably. That's the pshat of me. But but it's an important point just in terms of Rashbam was always looking for the simple, basic explanation. He's explaining simple, basic. Yosef was the youngest of the crew. And Binyamin wasn't until much later. So that's why Yosef kind of steps into that zone. Fine. But says Ramban, Ve'einenu nachom beinai. All his children were all born when he was old. Right? V'nei Yisachar u'Zvulon einam gedolim Yosef rak eshana u'shnatayim. Right? Zvulon and Yisachar are only a couple years older than him. And so it's not like Ben Zakunim. He's I had all these children and now he's the youngest. So the Rashbam really answers that Ramban. He says, okay, so he was the last.
So maybe we're interpreting it wrong. So maybe it's not physical age, but we're talking about by then he had experienced parenting 10 older kids. So
boys.
And
a girl, at least
his
one.
Parenting knowledge, was old and experienced, and he was able to understand Yosef in a much more sophisticated manner than his older kids.
Okay.
And he saw him differently understood him differently and was able to appreciate him more.
As some of our older children might say, not that it's ever been said to me, well, maybe once.
Yes.
I'm your oldest, so you're experimenting with me. Right? Some of the older kids says that, right? I'm the oldest. You don't know what you're doing. I'm the oldest. You're just kind of like trying to figure it out. I'm like, yeah, I know. You figured it out. Like, wait, no instruction manual. Right? So like, no, but it's an interesting point, right? So as time goes on, so Ruvain has like a lot of issues. Right? And as you move along, you get better.
At parents, right? The youngest is supposed to turn out.
You get better.
You know what you're doing.
Apparently.
I was thinking like of Rachel, like thinking of them as one. And it was like her child in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's definitely, we know that because he says it. Right? He says that when it's time to send Binyamin down, and he says, and Yosef was killed, and he was the only one from his mother. We know that it's about Rachel also. It's definitely about Rachel also, for sure.
Can I ask you a side question? Yes. Sort of like side, but like when Mephorshim, right there, Mephorish, are they writing it like based on the shot, or are they responding to other Mephorshim? Are they answering them? Like,
so sometimes
the
they are.
Rambam answer, Ramban.
So the Rashi, so that's what's good to know. Very good, thank you. So historically, Rashi is Rashbam's grandfather.
Right.
So Rashbam is very much, if he doesn't say it always, Rashi says, I'm Pshuto Shel Mikra. I'm always in Pshuto Shel. He's not, he's always wanting Midrash. Always. So Rashbam, in his introduction, he says, my grandfather said he was saying Pshuto Shel Mikra, and it wasn't really true. So he says, so I'm going to, and he was like, really is like a response. I'm going to give you Mamish Pshuto Shel Mikra, right? What is the really basic? And you find the Rashbam always. He just takes from you what you can find in the Pesukim to find the answer, right? And that's what he's really looking at. So in the Ramban, very often we'll quote Rashi, he'll quote the Ibn Ezra, and they'll say, Ibn Ezra says this, and it's a disaster, it's totally wrong. Rashi says this, I totally disagree. No, but yes.
So Ramban is responding to Rashbam.
So the Ramban, I don't know if he's responding to Rashbam, but he's certainly responding to when he says Nenachon Beinai, I think he's quoting Rashi.
Okay.
I think because Rashi said, because he was bored, because I clipped it.
Because otherwise he's challenging them and saying,
he gives an answer.
Zvulun, but Yisachar and Zvulun aren't really, they're a year or two older than him, so like
right.
What's
been. So I believe Ramban is responding to Rashi.
They're having an argument, but like with hundreds of years of each
they are.
Argument.
Yes. They are. Yes. It's amazing, right, to watch them fight with each other. And sometimes they were contemporaries, but sometimes they were living in different countries.
Right.
And would know what the other one said 100 years before, and then they say back. And then, yeah, correct.
Fascinating.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating. They say, the Rebbe Soloveitchik, used to say, in the Shir, he'd say, and now in comes the Rambam. And the Rambam's going to talk. And now the Ravid's going to come in and attack the Rambam. And Rambam says. Right, because the conversation is
still on.
Alive. The conversation's alive. Right? 1,000 years later. Rashi died in 1104. Right? So 1,000 years later, we're still having those conversations. So, good. So now look at the Radak. The Radak in source number 8. The Radak says, V'yehalo, b'sheva shanim noldu kol b'nei Yaakov. What are you talking about? It's ben zekunim. They're all born within the 7-year period. Afal pisha nolad Yosef acharon, mazikna ha'isalei. What are you talking about? Old man. He's not older. V'valed Yosef mishar banav. So Ella Perusho, what's going on here? Ki ben zikunim hulo, ki haya motzo chacham b'chol dvarav, kamo im haya zakein. A totally different pshat. He found in Yosef a certain sophistication, like he was the older child. Ben zikunim, he was like a zakein. Right? Not that he was when I'm old, but like Yosef was like an older person, not an old man, but a mature person. There was a certain maturity of thought that existed in Yosef that didn't exist in the other children. V'chein tirgim unklos. That's what unklos explains it. Ari bar chakim hule. Right? He wasn't a zakein. He was his bar chakim. Someone who had chachma. Someone who had wisdom. Ulavato so yoser mikobanav hayamabisha bibigadim na'im v'asala ketonapasim. He says because he appreciated him, right, in a way that he did not appreciate the other children. He saw something special in him. So he was a special child. So he naturally treated him a little differently, even to the extent that he gave him different clothing. Okay? I know, don't worry. Roll him, you can roll him. It's fine, right? And Rashi says, goes back, going back to Rashi in Source number 9, Rashi says, "Unklo tirgen barcha tim hule," that he was smart, like he saw him as a chacham. Koma shalom mishen ve'ever masarlo, that there was something specific that Yosef, that Yaakov gave to Yosef. He gave him a masara. Right, mishen ve'ever. Right. So the midrash says that when Yaakov left home to go run to Lavan's house, he stopped for 14 years in the yeshiva of Shem ve'ever. Shem is Shem, who is the son of Noach. We always think that Avram was the only, Avram Yitzchak were like the only monotheist. But it's not true. Right? Shem was a monotheist, and this was an individual named Ever, apparently. And so the Midrash tells us that he went to Yeshiva Shem Ever, whatever it was that went on in Yeshiva Shem Ever. But also, like, when, it's not so crazy, when Rivka has the children, you know, running around in her stomach, and she says, Lama Zeh Anochi, what's going on? Vatelech Lidroshes Hashem. She went somewhere to find out what Hashem would say. Where'd she go? She didn't go to Yitzchak. She went somewhere. So Chazal say, Shem Ve'Ever. She went to Shem Ve'Ever.
What were they learning?
Great question.
It's like, there was no Torah. There was no laws of kosher.
There's no Torah.
Did they have shops? Did they have shops?
They didn't have anything. They had the seven Noah High laws. They had seven mitzvah Noah. That they did have. That officially they had. So the Chazal explained us that they were trying to, on their own, figure out what the mitzvahs would be. They didn't know them themselves, but they were like spiritual beings. Whatever it was that they meditated, they whatever. It's not clear what they really learned there. But whatever it was, he spent 14 years there with them. So there must have been something, according to the Midrash, that he spent, again, you can, whatever the Midrash is trying to teach us there.
Two PhDs.
Yeah, it's a little complicated what was going on there. But the point is, but the Midrash says that he gave to Yosef what he learned in Shem Ve'Ever. Okay? Look at this source number 10. Source number 10 is the MS Yaakov from Yaakov Kamenetsky. Kamenetsky writes something very interesting. And he says like this, "Ube'emes bazeh gufa na'utz masharo ach echav ki yoso ahav avihemi kol achav." We have to understand what it is that they saw that he loved about him more than the others. "De'bishlama ilu haya be'emes haben zekunim." I get it, if he was really the youngest kid. "Lohei mekanim bo kol kol ikar." That wouldn't bother him so much. Everyone knows he's the baby, okay? Just that he's the baby, that wouldn't bother people so much. It would bother them a little, right? Sorry, it still bothers us a little bit, right? All of us who have a younger sibling who gets treated there, right? So it bothers people a little bit, but not that much. Not that they wanted to murder him. "Dechein hu darka sholom sha'avo hev yoter tayenuka sholom." We know that people, you know, we don't love them better, but there's a certain, affinity for the youngest child. And really probably more than that, maybe that we want the youngest child to kind of like remain the baby, because you always want to have that baby in your house. You want that kid to stay a baby, right? I see a lot of antennae going up. "Aval kevan shehu lo haya haben zekunim," but since he wasn't really the ben zekunim, "va'af apichen chivav aviv Yosef mikol benet," but still, right? I mean, it's not that he was ben zekunim, it's that he wasn't the ben zekunim, and still his father treated him special. "Mishum shebar chakimu," because he was some type of intellect, something about him that was special. "Miyad niskanubo." Now they really hate him. Right? If he was just born into it in that slot in the family, it wouldn't bother them quite as much. It's natural. But now that he's not, there's Binyamin, and his father, the father clearly has more of an interest in him, that's really going to set them off. But he's still bothered. Amnam, next paragraph. "Masha hosif Rashi." Rashi adds on. "Kol ma shalomad mishem ve'iver masarlo." Right? Rashi adds this point that whatever he learned from Shem ve'iver, he gave to him. It's a problem. What's the problem? He says the problem is, who else did he learn Torah from? Presumably Yaakov
Avinu. His father.
Avram and Yitzchak.
Right, his grandfather.
Right? He didn't just learn, whatever he learned is sitting in that ohel in his father's house. Right? So he's getting whatever this mesorah they have of monotheism and walking the ways of Hashem, etc. He didn't get that just from Shem Ve'Ever. He got it from Avram Yitzchak. There's stories about what the promises are for them. What that they're going to be this great nation. They're going to go down to some place afterwards and come back out and take over Eretz Yisrael. They have this mesorah in their family. He didn't get that from Shem Ve'Ever. Then from Avram Yitzchak. So what do you mean he gave him everything he got from Shem Ve'Ever? Look what he says. The third paragraph. That's a lot of reading. And he says, I mentioned this in a different place in my sefer. "The Torah shel Shem Ve'Ever haisa Torah miyuchedet." The Torah of Shem Ve'Ever was a different type of Torah. The messages. the lessons that Shem ve'Eva taught were different. Why? It was Torah Tagalut. It was a Torah of a person who has to go far away and leave their family and leave Eretz Yisrael. Ki rak Shem ve'Eva shachayu b'doram shal reshayim gemurim. When does Shem ve'Eva live?
Dor Mabul. Dor Bavel. Or
right, so Shem actually lives through the Mabul. Shem is in the Teva with Noach, right? And then they live through the Dor HaFlaga, right? When they build the tower of Bavel, and everyone gets split around. Right? They live through the Sodom, right? They live through these generations of really unseemly characters, right? And nevertheless, afapichen hitzlichu liyishaer b'tzid katam. They remain who they are, apparently, right? They maintain this, have their own yeshiva. Heim elu sheyachol lemisrol Yaakov ech lichyol etzal lavan rasha. Because, by the way, same question could be asked by Yaakov. Yaakov spent all his time learning from his father Yitzchak. Why does he have to go to Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eva before he goes to Haran? The answer is Shem Ve'Eva. Shem Ve'Eva know how to teach you how to live life in an environment that's not so ideal. To live life in an environment that's not going to be so, there's not going to be 50, restaurants around and, yeshivas everywhere and shuls and mincha every 5 minutes. And you need to live in a place where there's less of that and that's harder and you're not going to have the spiritual cocoon of Eretz Yisrael. And that was something that Yaakov needed to learn before he went to Haran. And okay. That was something that Yaakov needed to teach specifically to Yosef. Why
he
Yosef?
He was going to be in Mitzrayim and surrounded by Galus.
Good. Right? So therefore, Torah Avot, in the Torah of the Avos, that wasn't going to be enough. Monotheism, be a tzaddik, follow Hashem, yada yada. That's not going to work in Haran. That's not going to work in Mitzrayim. It's too hard. You need like more armor. So Yaakov chooses to give that to Yosef. I guess you have to assume that he had some understanding. He knew the nevuah from Avram Avinu that Yer Zarechem Eretz Yisrael, it's going to happen. You're going to go down. They knew this was going to happen to them. They were going to leave Eretz Yisrael. He didn't know which kid, right? But presumably he figured out, or he got a nevuah that Yosef was going to be that kid. Maybe he saw something special in Yosef. Yosef's going to be the one who's going to be that chosen one, right? You can see sometimes in children there's something special in a child. Right, that this child is going to be unique. And he says, this is the one I got to give this special Masorah to. But he says, but wait a second. He goes, so that's great. Now I get it a little bit, right? Why he zeroes in on Yosef. He sees something about Yosef. He's special. He needs that, right? But what's the problem? The brothers, v'amnam ha'achim shifteka, shlo yadua that sibama dua lo made Yaakov in Yosef yoter Torah me'er shalom aritam. They didn't understand why. The rest of the brothers watched this and like, what's going on? A special chavrusa? Just with Yosef, what about us? They don't get it. And they feel, rightfully so, they feel jealous. And angry. Yeah. Jealous and angry. Just this step, by the way, to me, it gives you like, maybe a little bit. Like, go a little easier on Yaakov here. Like, Yaakov's got a lot on his shoulders. He knows what's supposed to happen here. This is not just because he's a Navi. He has a Masorah in the family. They know this is going to happen. Right? And so he finds one kid who has this like unique talent, this unique personality, this unique way to understand the world, and he says, this one's going to be different. I got to treat him a little different than the others. And he zeroes in on him. Okay, it, I don't even want to say backfires, but it has a terrible like repercussions with the other kids, and it actually sends Yosef to Mitzrayim.
Right.
Right, he thinks he's preparing him to go to Mitzrayim, he's actually sending him there. At the same time, ironically, right? That special relationship, because he's the one who's gonna, is the thing that actually sends him down there. So it doesn't mean he did it perfect, but you can get a sense a little bit more maybe about where he's at. But let's keep going.
But that's really inconsistent with his reaction when the brothers later come and we're not there yet and say, Yosef is no longer. Oh. And
We're gonna get to it. His reaction. What? How does he react?
He's devastated for the rest of his life. Right. He mourns him the rest of his life.
And he refuses to be comforted.
Right. So if he knew and he was preparing him,
it said that he went to Samantha Ho's house and he said that he refused because he didn't believe that he really was dead. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, right?
That's one of the shatim that he didn't really feel. But let's skip ahead for a second. Why would someone like Yaakov, who has accepted that, who believes that Yosef is like unique and going to take his children into Galus. And he's the one who's going to like help them be strong in this very, very difficult environment. Why would he refuse to accept that Yosef is dead?
Because of the Masorah. Because you know how the story ends, sort of, right?
God, you promised me they're going down. And you promised me it's going to be really hard. But you, also promised me they're going to come out. And you gave me this very special child, right? Who's like supposed to be the one who's going to lead them. I could tell. Just look at him. He's got it. He's got all the stuff that you need to be that guy, right? And you promised me that they would come out. And you gave me the right child. I prepared him. I got him ready. And now he's dead? After all that? Can't be. Okay, so the answer is, it could be. But you might understand more now why Yaakov refused, he refuses to accept it. Because it can't, again, maybe that's just, maybe that's just emotionally challenging for him.
Right.
But happens to be that he ends up being right. But you're right, it could just be like, it seemed impossible to him. How could that be?
He should have started like preparing the remaining 11 children.
But afterwards?
Correct.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of what Avraham Avinu did. When we said Hashem promised him, you know, he'd inherit all this land and Sarah dies, he has to go buy his. I mean, we talked about mm-hmm. this also at some mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. He had to, like, go buy the land. Mm-hmm. Hashem promised him he'd have children as many as the stars. And then Sarah was in Akara for all those years.
So he goes for it.
So Avraham, right. So,
I mean, Yaakov is also, he's preparing Yosef.
Okay, but when Yosef disappears, instead of just not accepting it, you still have 11 other children. Now, plan B. Start, pick out of the 11 who you're going
to train. So what's the response to that from a human being perspective? From a human perspective?
He fell apart and he couldn't do it. He was...
Phil looks like,
there was nothing left.
Phil looks like. He just... He wrote a Yaakov relationship. I wanted peace and quiet already after Lavan and Dina and my wife died and my Esav and now Yosef's dead. He's like... He's like, shut off. He can't do it anymore. Again, I don't know. But it almost feels like that. He's like, he can't pick it up.
Not to derail us, and you can say we're on another time, but
I will if I have to.
Why did Yaakov, why was he sent to Haran and to Lavan to find a wife? Why didn't he just go to the yeshiva of Shem and Aver and say, I need a shidduch? Like,
because you have to go have to your family. You got shidduchim in your family. That's how it goes. So did we talk about this? Did we ever talk about Devor Menekes Rivka?
No.
But maybe next year. There's a whole very, very interesting story about Devorah, who is the wet nurse of Rivka, this is really wrong. This is not the topic.
Okay, fine.
Okay. There's more, but next year, Mirza Blina
there.
Yes. Okay. Why he had to go into Golos. But maybe he had to go to... But by the way, maybe he had to go to Golos so he could prepare Yosef, who does go to Golos. Right? And by the way, the stories of Yosef are all read when? Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. The Yom Tov of how would you prepare us to go into Golos, right? Hanukkah was the last holiday, right? The last holiday before we had to know how to find light in a lot of darkness. That was the holiday of Hanukkah.
Wait, always have. I'm going to Yosef.
Okay, please now. Send me an email. Set up the email to go out, you know, like 340 days from now. But we'll talk Devor Menekes Rivka. But fine. I want to go further for a second. I gave you a couple of interesting pshatim here about, we won't go into them right now, we don't really have time, but that why did he give him his special coat? And what's the pshat? So some say because the other brothers went out to the field and he stayed at home, so he wore different clothing because the shepherds wore one clothing and he wore different clothing because he stayed with his father and he was, again, preparing him, so he wore different clothes. It wasn't like this, like, fancy clothes, but it was like, oh, it was different clothes because he lived a different life than they did. But I want to show you. We're going to skip Rabbi Soloveitchik for right now. I want to show you one last piece, because we always say, why? How did Yaakov like not see what was going on here? Because one of the most confusing parts of the whole story is source number 15, right? What happens in source number 15? Vayachu achav liros et son avihem b'shchem. They go to Shechem. Source number 15. You got it?
Yep.
Yes. Maybe.
Yep.
No.
Last page.
You missing a page? Grab over there the second page. Sorry. It should be stapled together. Yeah. So in source number 15, I think it's the last source on your page, right? So they go to Shechem. Vayom Yisrael Yosef and Yisrael, and Yaakov calls Yosef, Halo Achecha Roim B'Shechem, Lecha V'Shlachecha Aleim. Go, why don't you go check on your brothers in some remote place? Go to see the guys who hate your guts. and come back and tell me how it's going. And surprise, what happens? They jump him and kill him. Well, don't kill him. They jump him and sell him. But before that, what happens? Fine. So it's always been bothered me, and I think bothers a lot of Mepharshim. What's Yaakov been doing? Like, bad enough, he doesn't realize that he's set up this whole mess, that the brothers hate each other. But he sees they hate each other. So why are you sending Yosef into the lion's den? And then be so surprised when something bad happens afterwards, right? So I saw a beautiful, beautiful pshat from Simcha Banim Apshischa, Chassidish pshat. But really, really nice explanation, actually. And he says, right, what was Yosef's issue with his brothers? Yosef is a big tzaddik. Yosef is a very special Baruch Hakim, right? He's uniquely spiritual person. Clearly, he has dreams, he has all kinds of stuff. But sometimes what happens with individuals who are very spiritually connected,
they can't relate to people.
They have a hard time with people who are not. Right? And we judge other people and we look down at them. And that's like the next stage, right? First you want like a kid to like grow spiritually, and then you have to remind them like, and not everyone's like you. And that's okay. And like, how can you handle that? So says Yaakov knew it. Yaakov knew. He saw what was going on. Yosef's coming back. He's telling his brothers. And so he says, I have an opportunity now. And he sends him. Leich na re'ei es shalom achecha. What's he telling him to do? He's giving him a Musar Shmus. See the shleimus. See that your brothers also have something good in them. I want you to go to your brothers and see that, you know what? They have something good in them too. And maybe we should kind of cut this whole thing out, Yosef. With you telling on them, and saying bad things about them, and looking down on them, and dreams that you're going to rule over them. Like sometimes, like, just don't say. You know, sometimes just, like, keep it to yourself. You don't have to, like, right? And he was actually trying to bring them together, right? And in fact, when he is on his way and he can't find them, what does he say? He meets up this mysterious man, right? He meets this mysterious man, continuing in source number 15. And what does he say? He says, you know, what are you looking for? And he says, Pasuk Tezayin, Vayomer, Es Achai Anochim Vakesh. I'm looking for my brothers. So you could read that as, looking for my brothers. But he wanted to say, the Yid of Pshischa wanted to say, no, Es Achai Anochim Vakesh. I'm looking for
my brothers.
Mevakesh. I'm trying. I'm trying to find my brothers. I'm trying to find a relationship. With the brothers that I don't have. Well, he wasn't just a stranger, some like malach, this guy, you know what I mean? You know? But this is deep Torah, you know what I mean? So like the Torah doesn't just tell you random conversations, it's telling you something very, he wants to argue. Again, this is not the simple, this is not the Rashbam. This is not the Rashbam. I'm looking for my brothers.
No, I'm thinking
right?
This.
What?
I'm thinking this.
Yeah, see, right? Right? It's nice, right? It's pretty, right? So, and if that's true, also, what does that show you? That even Yaakov is saying, and he says that, so and that explains also why Yaakov is Vayimein Nachem. When he finds that afterwards, after he sent Yosef to make Shalom, and Yaakov, he probably saw on Yosef's face, like, okay, Abba, like, I got it. Like, I'm going to go make Shalom. So he's like, ready to make things better. And then what they say? He died. And he's like, I can't be. I'm supposed to be the one with 12 children who all get along, and like, it all works, and they're all going to be a Shiftei Ka, and it's going to be great. And like, what? After we, like, it's getting better, right? It's getting better. And now it goes off the rails, like, it can't be. It can't be. And that's why he refuses to have an achama, because, again, whether you want to say it's that he really, you know, knew with the nevuah that I was camping, or just, it can't be. Right? After all I've invested in them and tried and, you know, to make them get along, even though, I caused this a little bit also, right? And again, he was still right. Yosef still was a special one, and Yosef still needed a little bit, maybe special attention in a certain way, right? You have to figure out how to balance that with the other kids if you need to do that with one of them, right? But like, and maybe he caused the whole thing, but he also tried to fix it. He did not try. He did try to fix it. It just, you know, it didn't work. But that, and by the way, that would also explain why when the brothers later on, way at the end of the story, they say to Yosef, our father, after he dies, right? And they lie to him, and they say, our brother said, don't, be nice to us, right? Hey, that would fit with any father, hopefully. But it helped particularly if this is part of the story, right? If Yaakov had told Yosef, no, shalom, make shalom, make shalom. right? And that they knew this is something that their father wanted. They say, Rishon Shem Farhersh passed away. He left a tzava, a letter for his family. And the one thing he asked them, he said, just do me a favor. Take care of each other. This is like one of the biggest Tamei Chachamim of the generation, you know? All I want, you guys get along with each other. Don't fight. Speak to each other, hang out with each other, support each other. That's what I want. That's what I want after I die. Just take care of each other, you know? And to see, I love this pshat because it, look over it, you know, it's probably true. That's what Yaakov wanted, obviously. He wanted them to get along, and it's complicated. It's complicated. But I like this, we always do this, right? I hope. Is to see that this is, it was complicated. And I think, by the way, it's true in all parenting, it's complicated that our children are not all the same. And they don't all need the exact same treatment. And so my kids, like my family, the kids will say, like, but this one, I said, so, everyone's not the same. You know, that's easier because they're different ages. Because twins, I guess it's harder. But what can I tell you? But not the different ages, so I can complain on that. But like, right? Not everyone's the same. Not everyone's the same. I treat everyone fair. Fair is not the same. Right. Everyone's not the same.
It's the fair equal. Have you seen that image with the three kids? It's like a cartoon.
No, I've not seen it. I want to see it.
I don't know where I can even find it. I saw it online one time, and it's like three kids at different heights, and it's like what's fair or what's equal. So equal, they're trying to see over a fence. So equal is they all have the same box, but then they can't all see over the fence. So fair is they have different height
different
boxes
to
see over the same fence.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's fair. That's that they need different things. You know, different kids have different needs.
This one needs to go to this appointment. This one doesn't need that appointment. This one needs to say, right? Everyone needs some different things. And that's okay. So the challenge is, how do you make them, I don't know, good luck. I don't know, okay. Someone give me some advice about that one. And make them not care. But I think to see even in Yaakov, and I think this, that Emes of Yaakov, and then this simple bottom Shishcha, brings out that value of, like, Yaakov saw what was going on. He wasn't blind. His father's blind. I mean, he wasn't blind to what was going on. But it was difficult to navigate. And he needed something for the future of Klal Yisrael. And it actually sent things in a bad direction, which ended up being the right thing. In the end, ended up being the right thing, actually. Right? And how things kind of went as they went. But that it wasn't like Yaakov's oblivious. He has no idea. How could you have a favorite child? That there was a lot more to it there than meets the eye. And when we see that, I think, then we have a deeper, hopefully, deeper appreciation for the struggles and the successes of the others.